The Holy Spirit does not share space with demons. This is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible coming to you from Riverside, California. Podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. This is the daily podcast where we're reading through the entire Bible in a year. How are you? I'm glad you're here. Welcome. Today in our reading, we're going to read Luke chapters 11 and 12. And after the reading, I'll have some comments, of course. I'm calling today's episode, No Vacancy. The show notes page for today's episode is lifespringmedia.com/S12E164. Are you ready? Let's go. Luke chapter 11. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer him from within, Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now he was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons. While others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, and finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings 7 other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breasts at which you nursed. But he said, Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, This generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your lamp is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light, but when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. While Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and reclined at table. The Pharisee was astonished to see that he did not first wash before dinner. And the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools! Did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you. But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb, and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Woe to you Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it." One of the lawyers answered him, "Teacher, in saying these things you insult us also." And he said, "Woe to you lawyers also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets whom your fathers killed. So you are witnesses, and you consent to the deeds of your fathers, for they killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore also the wisdom of God said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, it will be required of this generation. Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those who were entering.' As he went away from there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to press him hard and to provoke him to speak about many things, lying in wait for him to catch him in something he might say. Luke chapter 12. As thousands of people crowded together so that they were stepping on each other, Jesus said first to his disciples, "Be on guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, I mean their hypocrisy. Whatever is covered up will be uncovered, and every secret will be made known. So then, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in broad daylight, and whatever you have whispered in private in a closed room will be shouted from the housetops. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot afterward do anything worse. I will show you whom to fear. Fear God, who, after killing, has the authority to throw into hell. Believe me, he is the one you must fear. Aren't 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one sparrow is forgotten by God. Even the hairs of your head have all been counted, so do not be afraid. You are worth much more than many sparrows. I assure you that those who declare publicly that they belong to me, the Son of Man will do the same for them before the angels of God. But those who reject me publicly, the Son of Man will also reject them before the angels of God. Whoever says a word against the Son of Man can be forgiven. But whoever says evil things against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When they bring you to be tried in the synagogues or before governors or rulers, do not be worried about how you will defend yourself or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." A man in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide with me the property our father left us." Jesus answered him, "Friend, who gave me the right to judge or to divide the property between you two?" And he went on to say to them all, "Watch out and guard yourselves from every kind of greed, because your true life is not made up of the things you own, no matter how rich you may be." Then Jesus told them this parable. There was once a rich man who had land which bore good crops. He began to think to himself, "I don't have a place to keep all my crops. What can I do?" "This is what I will do," he told himself. "I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, where I will store the grain and all my other goods. Then I will say to myself, 'Lucky man, you have all the good things you need for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night you will have to give up your life. Then who will get all these things you have kept for yourself? And Jesus concluded, This is how it is with those who pile up riches for themselves, but are not rich in God's sight. Then Jesus said to the disciples, And so I tell you not to worry about the food you need to stay alive, or about the clothes you need for your body. Life is much more important than food, and the body much more important than clothes. Look at the crows. They don't plant seeds or gather a harvest. They don't have storage rooms or barns. God feeds them. You are worth so much more than birds. Can any of you live a bit longer by worrying about it? If you can't manage even such a small thing, why worry about the other things? Look how the wildflowers grow. They don't work or make clothes for themselves, but I tell you that not even King Solomon with all his wealth had clothes as beautiful as one of these flowers. It is God who clothes the wild grass, grass that is here today and gone tomorrow, burned up in the oven. Won't he be all the more sure to clothe you? What little faith you have. So don't be all upset, always concerned about what you will eat and drink. For the pagans of this world are always concerned about these things. Your Father knows that you need these things. Instead, be concerned with his kingdom, and he will provide you with these things. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell all your belongings and give the money to the poor. Provide for yourselves purses that don't wear out, and save your riches in heaven, where they will never decrease, because no thief can get to them, and no moth can destroy them. For your heart will always be where your riches are. Be ready for whatever comes, dressed for action and with your lamps lit, like servants who are waiting for their master to come back from a wedding feast. When he comes and knocks, they will open the door for him at once. How happy are those servants whose master finds them awake and ready when he returns? I tell you, he will take off his coat, have them sit down, and will wait on them. How happy they are if he finds them ready, even if he should come at midnight or even later. And you can be sure that if the owner of a house knew the time when the thief would come, he would not let the thief break into his house. And you too must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you are not expecting him. Peter said, Lord, does this parable apply to us, or do you mean it for everyone? The Lord answered, Who then is the faithful and wise servant? He is the one that his master will put in charge, to run the household and give the other servants their share of the food at the proper time. How happy that servant is if his master finds him doing this when he comes home. Indeed, I tell you, the master will put that servant in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself that his master is taking a long time to come back, and if he begins to beat the other servants, both the men and the women, and eats and drinks and gets drunk, then the master will come back one day when the servant does not expect him and at a time he does not know. The master will cut him in pieces and make him share the fate of the disobedient. The servant who knows what his master wants him to do, but does not get himself ready and do it, will be punished with a heavy whipping. But the servant who does not know what his master wants and yet does something for which he deserves a whipping will be punished with a light whipping. Much is required from the person to whom much is given. Much more is required from the person to whom much more is given. I came to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism to receive, and how distressed I am until it is over. Do you suppose that I came to bring peace to the world? No, not peace, but division. From now on, a family of five will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. Fathers will be against their sons, and sons against their fathers. Mothers will be against their daughters, and daughters against their mothers. Mothers-in-law will be against their daughters-in-law, and daughters-in-law against their mothers-in-law. Jesus said also to the people, When you see a cloud coming up in the west, at once you say that it is going to rain, and it does. And when you feel the south wind blowing, you say that it's going to get hot, and it does. Hypocrites! You can look at the earth and the sky and predict the weather. Why then don't you know the meaning of this present time? Why do you not judge for yourselves the right thing to do? If someone brings a lawsuit against you and takes you to court, do your best to settle the dispute before you get to court. If you don't, you will be dragged before the judge, who will hand you over to the police, and you will be put in jail. There you will stay, I tell you, until you pay the last penny of your fine. Beloved, I'd like to read Luke 11:24-26 to you again. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, and finding none, it says, I will return to the house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. Well, of course, that was Jesus speaking, and when he said, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person. Here, Jesus is showing that demons can come and go from people. They look for people to inhabit. But take note, when a person gives their life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live in them. In John 14:15-17, Jesus said, If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, or advocate, or counselor, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And then in 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul said, Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? So you see, the Christian, the believer, the one who has asked Jesus to forgive them and be their Lord, has the Holy Spirit in them, right? And the Holy Spirit does not share space with demons. They cannot take up residence in a Christian. No way, no how. Now notice in this account that Jesus is giving that he says, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and finding none, it says, I will return to the house from which I came. So, at some point, for some reason, the demon left the person, and it looked around for some other place to occupy, but it found no place as well suited as the former place, so it returned. And since the place was empty, without Jesus, he moved back in. Listen, you can't be on the fence. Either Jesus is in you or he isn't. Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, Whoever is not with me is against me. So an agnostic is just as lost as an atheist. You've probably heard the phrase, nature abhors a vacuum, right? Where there is space, it wants to be filled. I remember my first computer back in the late 80s, maybe early 90s. I had a 120 megabyte hard drive. Yes, megabyte, not gigabyte, and certainly not terabyte. Well, after I used the computer for several months, guess what? The hard drive filled up. So I got a really spacious 350 megabyte drive. I thought, this thing is so big, it'll never fill up. Well, today I have a 1 terabyte drive in my iMac. Now, for reference, there are 1,000 megabytes in a gigabyte and 1,000 gigabytes in a terabyte. So, a terabyte is 1,000,000 times larger than a megabyte. So, compared to that 120 megabyte hard drive I started off with, the 1 terabyte drive in my computer should be just fine, right? It'll never fill up. Well, wait a minute. I'm not done. The 1 terabyte drive in my iMac is nearly full. Yeah. Plus, I've got another 4 terabyte drive connected to my computer, which gives me 5 terabytes. That ought to be enough, right? I'm not finished. I have another 8 terabyte drive connected too. That's 13 terabytes. That's 13 million megabytes. And all of my hard drives, all 13 million megabytes, are almost all used up. Yeah. I need to buy more disk space. Out of all that space, I have only a total of 435 gigabytes available. That's less than 0.5 terabyte. Like I was saying, nature abhors a vacuum. And according to what this story from Jesus tells us, that applies in the spiritual realm as well. Either the Holy Spirit lives in you, or you've hung out a vacancy sign for a demonic tenant. Now, I'm not saying that every non-Christian will have an experience like an exorcist movie. But of course, the way the enemy works, he usually likes to inflict damage a little bit at a time. Sort of like termites. They can get into the wood framing of a house and be there for months and years, eating away at the structure without being detected.
But all the while, the house is being weakened until there's no structural integrity left. A demon takes up residence in a person, and spiritual decay begins. How it manifests can be a collapse of morals, lack of judgment, substance abuse, addiction to pornography, and on and on. Now, I'm not saying that these examples are always or only because of demonic possession. I'm just saying that these can be indicators. But listen, instead of focusing on what the enemy or demons can do, our focus ought to be on Jesus. He is the source of life and freedom and joy and salvation. If you have Him, you have all you need. He said in John 10:10, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So, what does your sign say? Vacancy or no vacancy? If your sign says vacancy, you can change that. Jesus wants to move in. He said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me." Now notice, he does not just move in. He's a gentleman. He waits for your invitation. And you can invite him in now if you want to. Just say this prayer. You can say it out loud. You can say it in your heart. Just simply say, "Lord Jesus, I want you to move in. I know that I'm a sinner and that only you can forgive me. I ask you to forgive me now and be my Savior and my Lord. Make me the person you want me to be. Make me yours. Amen." Well, if you prayed that prayer, congratulations. Right now there is rejoicing in heaven. And your sign now says, no vacancy. From this point forward, you belong to Jesus, and there's nothing that can take you from Him. Romans 8:28 says, "Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created being will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Man, talk about security. Talk about an abundant life. Hey, do me a favor, will you? If you prayed that prayer, would you let me know? Send me an email at steve@lifespringmedia.com. If you have any questions, I'll do my best to answer. And I won't put you on a list. I won't spam you or anything like that. I just want to pray for you and do what I can to help you get a good start in this new life. I invite your comments at lifespringmedia.com/S12E164. And tomorrow we'll begin the book of Ephesians. We'll read chapters 1 through 3.
Boost!
Well, thank you. Some donations came in. Roderick made his monthly $50 donation. Thank you, Roderick, and God bless you. And Paul also came in with his $5 monthly donation. Thank you for that as well, Paul. God bless you. I so appreciate these monthly donations. You help to keep the wheels turning and the mic turned on. You help to make planning and budgeting possible. I appreciate it. God bless you. Thank you. Now, you can participate in the Value for Value method of supporting the show with time, talent, or treasure by making a donation to support this show that comes to you 7 days a week, rain or shine. It certainly isn't free for me to create the show for you, and if it's something that you look forward to each day, it would be awesome if you would return a portion of that value to me to help with the cost of producing the show and perhaps buy some new hard drives. More details at lifespringmedia.com/support. You'll find several methods to give there. There's a form where you can give online or you can send a check. And there's a link for you to give via PayPal. You can use Venmo. You can use Zelle, Bitcoin, the Lightning Network, even the Cash App. And of course, you can send micropayments in the form of Satoshi as you listen, and even send boosts and boostograms when you want to send bonus amounts. But you can only do that if you have a modern podcast app that is podcasting 2.0 enabled. So if you have one of those dusty old legacy podcast apps, ditch it and go to newpodcastapps.com, where you'll find an ever-growing list of really innovative podcasting 2.0 apps that you can choose from. Do you have an Android device? Well, there's Podcast Addict, Podcast Guru, Podverse, Breeze, Fountain, and more. You got iOS? Well, then there's Podcast Guru, Fountain, Playapod, Zion, Hypercatcher, Castomatic, Podverse, and on and on. You get the idea? And these are only a few of the modern apps that are available. There are even several that you can listen to through a browser on your desktop. And if you're a real geek and you've got KaiOS on your phone, there's an app for that. What about Linux? Are you a Linux user? You're covered too. So take a look at what's available at newpodcastapps.com. Join the Podcasting 2.0 revolution and help preserve free speech, because Podcasting 2.0's mission is to preserve, protect, and extend the open, independent podcasting ecosystem. What that means is they're helping to ensure that canceling can't happen. Free speech must be protected. Do your part. And when you support the Lifespring Family Audio Bible, it doesn't really matter how you give, but that you give. And when you do, you are helping to spread the gospel, the good news, to a world in chaos that needs it. God bless you. On this date in church history, February 12, 1948, the Pentecostal awakening, known as the Latter Rain Movement, traces its origin to this date when students at the Sharon Orphanage and schools in North Battleford, Saskatchewan, Canada, began experiencing mass spiritual awakening. And on this date in church history, February 12, 1644, Jacob Ammann was born. He was a Mennonite minister from Alsace, Switzerland, and the founder of the Amish Mennonites. Prayer requests. Let's keep Kathy in prayer as she waits for her surgery date of February 23rd, and also Lexton as he has more surgeries to repair his broken body from that traffic accident. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, you are holy, you're righteous, you're just, and you're merciful. How very good it is to be yours. In you there is rest, security, and joy. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your Son so that we can be in your presence, not just today, but throughout eternity. We pray now for Kathy, Lord, that you would ease the pain she's having with the cancer and the MS. And as she waits for surgery, may the time pass quickly for her, and during surgery, guide the hands of the doctor, and may the surgery be a success. And Lord, I'm going to ask you again. I know that you can heal Kathy if you will. I know you can. Please, in Jesus' name, heal her. Please. Like the man standing outside his friend's house at midnight asking for bread, I'm asking again. That man received because he asked and asked again. Lord, hear my prayer. Heal Kathy. In Jesus' name. And I pray now for Lexton. He needs healing too. His body is broken, and I pray that you'll repair it and make it whole again. And Lord, I thank you so much for each person listening to this podcast right now, the Lifespring family. Be with them today. May each one walk so closely with you that your presence in their life is unmistakable. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Send your prayer requests and your praises in at prayer.lifespringmedia.com. I love it when you comment on the show. Go to lifespringmedia.com/S12E164. Leave a comment there. Or you can email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com and support the show, please, at lifespringmedia.com/support. And until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your time with me. I do not take it for granted. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.